Call the House Senate Conference Committee to order. The first issue at hand is we're going to move the sales tax issue. I'm going to move House Article 4, Section 6, 7, and 8. So that's before us. Now I will move the A16 amendment that the members should have on lines 1.4 and 1.5. Okay, let's wait until you're at your seat. We will, that is technical corrections, and then the main part of what we're looking at here is 20 million for the Regional Recreation Center and Senior Center, 10 million the Economic Development Fund, and 8 million for the downtown infrastructure. Line 1.14, we have the city shall use $5 million of this money for economic development. You can read the cities there. Senator Sender, do you have an amendment? An oral amendment?
Thank you.
And I believe it's on line 1.17. After Spring Valley, put in comma, West Concord, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay. For the oral amendment, again, members, so we know on line 1.17 after Spring Valley, insert West Concord. We'll read West Concord and Hayfield. Any discussion on the Sengem oral amendment?
Thank you.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Now I will move the A16 amendment as amended. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the House Article 4, Section 6, 7, 8 as amended. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple questions on the Rochester
piece.
So how are we doing this? I haven't had a chance to really look through the amendment. Are we now, are the people going to be voting individually on each of these projects? Are they going to be split up on the ballot? How does that work? Can someone explain that to me, please?
Yes, I will. On the ballot, it'll be one vote. We've taken the House position, plus we've added the A16 amendment as amended. So it'll be one vote, but it would be during a general election.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I would rather see this, that these are split up so the citizens would have the opportunity to vote on each one of these items. I don't know what the proper motion would be for that, but.
Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, basically, I would have to, we could add language to it, and I've got to figure out the exact page and line, that would basically require a separate vote on each of the 10 items, which are the big dollar amounts, but isn't each individual transportation. It's like the county transportation and then the city transportation and things like that. But there would then be, you could do it as 10 separate votes if that's how you wanted to do it.
Mr. Chair, I could do it as having it one transportation and divide it up that way, if that makes it easier. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Could you please restate your motion?
Mr. Chair, I would like to see that when the citizens are voting on this, that they're voting it based on category one for economic development, one for transportation, and have it divided that way. And I don't know if Ms. Dalton can help me out with the proper language.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, right now there are seven separate items, main items in the bill. They are $17 million for county transportation, $30 million for city transportation. The third one is $14 million for the University of Minnesota Rochester. The fourth one is $6.5 million for Rochester Community Center and Technical College. The fifth is $6 million for I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I'm actually looking at the bill and there is a technical error there. We have that one listed twice for some reason. The next one is $20 million for the Destination Medical Community Initiative. The seventh is the Regional Public Safety, $8 million for the Regional Public Safety and 911 Dispatch Centers. And then we are adding the three that are in the amendment. So... Oh, I'm sorry. Four is the 6.5 for the Regional Community Center Technical College Winona, and then five is $6 million for the Regional Community College Technical Recreation Facilities. So they are all separate.
Discussion to the Anderson Amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would oppose the amendment, and it, you know, we can look at things differently, but I think it's the job of the legislature to authorize these things or not to authorize them, but not to micromanage the ballot. The issue here is an issue in respect to the ballot, I believe, not for us, but for the Rochester City Council, and the voters will vote this up or down according to their pleasure. But I would object at this point to break this ballot apart. Let's just see this question go up or down in Rochester, one way or another.
Discussion. I'm going to wrap up. We go to Senator Runbeck first here. Senator,
thank you, Mr. Runbeck. Chair. I would agree with Senator Senjum. I mean, I think that it's a bit unwieldy. I mean, it's a lot more for people to digest and to ask them to think through 10 different items. It just doesn't seem like the way to present it, really.
Further discussion?
Senator,
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, in the Marshall area, we do split that up. I think in order for us to have consistency as far as the policies that we pass here, that if we're going to ask one community to have a split on projects, we should ask all communities to have a split.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I will stand corrected. I believe that the Marshall proposal came to us. Okay, I'm getting ahead. I'm getting points of the contrary here, that it did not come to us separate, but we did separate it. And I'll stand corrected. Nonetheless, I would also, once again, just say I think that this Rochester City Council brought this to us. This is the way they want it. All cards in, all cards played. I think we ought to leave it this way.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Marshall came in as one question, but is now is two questions in the House bill, and that is what you adopted.
That's what I thought.
However, there are other ones that are multiple projects, such as the City of Cloquet, that you have adopted as just one question.
Ms. Dahl, would it be safe to say that everyone except Marshall that has multiple projects we adopted is one vote?
Mr. Chair, that would be correct.
Discussion. I'd like to wrap it up with good all. I would respectfully ask for a no vote on the Anderson amendment. I agree with Senator Senjum on this, and I'd like to go with one vote on Rochester, as most of our Marshall is accepted. Further discussion to the Anderson, so we understand what the Anderson. Motion is to split it up into how many categories,
Ms. Dahl? Mr. Chair, it would be 10 separate questions.
Okay, Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, the City of Marshall actually came forward with their proposal for separate questions. In this case, the local community did not ask for separate questions, and I would like to defer to the local communities.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Prevail. We now have the House Article 4, Section 6, 7, and 8 with the A16 amendment as amended. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, item next, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to make a motion to adopt the market value credit provisions that have been discussed in both chambers. There are a few corrections, and I'll offer amendments on that, but the provisions were essentially the same in both houses. We have a change on using an exclusion. However, we are going to be adopting House language, Article 6, Section 678, on page 23 of the side-by-sides. And, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator.
There is a savings to our biennial budget of $261 million with these provisions in 2012-13 and $538 million in fiscal year 14 and 15. And we have broad consensus in support of these changes because what we're really basically doing is coming clean with our local partners. We have funded the market value credits 1 year fully out of 10. And it's really a fiction to say that we are funding these market value credits when we have not been, and we've been pushing that burden over to the local elected officials to cover for us because law requires that the property tax statements reference the credits regardless of our funding. And so by this motion, we're going to be adopting a change that will allow local elected officials to change the property tax statements to show an exclusion and will permanently take this program out of the state's budget. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the House language on page 23 of the side-by-sides, sections 6, 7, and 8.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair, could we ask counsel just to explain specifically what these three sections do?
Certainly. Mr. Hines?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, Section 6 is the one that takes the 6 and 7 both basically do the same thing, which is sort of strike the payment of the home market value homestead credit from something that the state is going to repay. And Section 8, there's a list in statute of the various credits, and this just strikes this credit from that list. So this does not completely accomplish what we're doing, but this is these three are three necessary steps to adopt or sections to adopt, but there are others coming, I believe.
Discussion or questions?
Okay. Senator Ortman moves. Could you
I can. Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of the House language, Article 6, Sections 6, 7, and 8, on page 23 of the side-by-side.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move to page 27 of the side-by-side, Article 3, Section 34, Paragraph D. I am going to offer an amendment because there's some language in there that we don't want to move. It's subdivisions 1 and 6. So, members, page 27 of the side-by-side. Article 3, Section 34, Paragraph D.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair? Mr. Hines might be able to.
Mr. Hines?
Mr. Chairman, this paragraph is the one that Subdivision 6 repeals the market value credit for towns, and Subdivision 1, which I believe, Senator Ortman, you want to add the Subdivisions 1 and 6.
Correct.
Yes, and Subdivision 1 is actually the one that really does repeal the market value homestead credit.
Mr. Chair, we want to repeal it.
Okay. We've heard the motion. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I would like to offer an amendment, the VCORR. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. The number is wrong on the amendment that I'd like to offer at this point.
You want to do this one first?
We can. All right. Mr. Chair, we'll do that one first. There is another one. I just had the reverse order. So we'll do the VCORR.
Okay. Senator Ortman, it was the VCORR amendment. Can you explain your amendment? Or do
Mr. Hines?
Mr. Hines?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, I don't believe I have that one.
Oh.
Just yet. I think I know which one it is.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what this does is it makes a technical correction to the LGA formula to recognize that we now have a new tax capacity with the elimination of the market value credit, and so that needs to be also corrected in the LGA formula since it uses the market value credits for calculating ability to pay.
Discussion? Senator Ortman renews her motion for the VCORR amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if we could work on the other one, which is the VERT2 amendment.
Senator Ortman moves the VERT2 amendment. I'm sorry, VERT2 amendment.
Right. And Mr. Chair, if I could say, I only want to adopt sections 1, 3, and 4. It was written with four sections. In section 2, we've been asked to delete that section. So we're only going to move sections 1, 3, and 4 of the VERT2.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, that these sections 1, 3, and 4 are the ones there that do make our conversion a market value exclusion rather than a tax capacity change, which I think in the testimony is what it sounded like is what you thought you were adopting anyway, and what the testimony from the counties are that they would prefer it to do it this way. So sections 1, 3, and 4 do that. Section 2 is a minor change in the disabled veteran provision that goes with this, but it's in the other disabled veteran thing that under consideration. So I thought you'd want to adopt it at that point.
All right. So, will you say that again?
Senator Ortman moves the VERT2 amendment sections 1, 3, and 4. Discussion?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion fails.
Mr. Chair, I would offer again the 15 amendment, SH015. We had this under consideration before, and we've withdrew it. Right. These are the property tax relief for veterans and disabled veterans and their family.
Senator Ortman moves the SH015 amendment.
Mr. Willett?
Yes, Mr. Willett, if you could please have some information on the question of Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the committee was interested in the approximate number of beneficiaries that we project for this. And these are estimates, obviously based on things that haven't happened yet. But the estimate is based on approximately 125 to 150 beneficiaries based on the new language that wouldn't currently qualify for those benefits over the next 3 years.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Willett, do you know what the average benefit might be for property tax reduction?
Mr. Willett.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it looks like approximately $1,500 to $2,000, but that's a real rough approximation. I didn't do that calculation.
Mm-hmm. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Willett. Mr. Chair, I would move again the 015.
Okay, that's been moved. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, having voted to the negative on a recent Tennepin County issue, and I'm not sure if that's identifiable by number or the prevailing side, I would make a motion to reconsider that vote.
Second. Okay, Senator Senjum moves to reconsider Article 4, Section 3 and 4. That was, at that time, it was a $5 million appropriation. To get it before us, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Joe Michael from House Research is going to explain a proposal that we have here.
We now have it before us.
The copies are coming.
Both copies are coming. Can you describe what's coming?
Yes. Mr. Chair, what the motion would be is to adopt House Section 4, but not House Section 3, with the following change that, and I think it's being passed out now, which, as was, I think, was pointed out during the committee discussions before, the potential barrier to termination of the tax is the fact that the law does not define specifically what reserves are, what the maximum reserve is that Hennepin County can maintain. What the House bill did was to cap that reserve at $20 million. Rather than capping it at a dollar amount, what this amendment does is to say that the amount of the reserve cannot exceed the net present value of three of the county's obligations under the ballpark deal. The obligation, and all of these are 30-year obligations, to essentially fund the capital reserve, to fund the operations of the ballpark authority, not the ballpark itself, but the government structure that managed the deal, and then the grants to libraries and youth sports. And so essentially the maximum amount of the reserve would, once the county has defeased the bonds, which is the sort of the main other permitted use of the bonds other than or of the tax revenues, it would have to turn off the tax when the reserve hits that amount equal to the net present value of the remaining obligation to make those three payments over the 30 years, less the payments that the county has already made.
Would anyone like to testify on this particular issue? Unless we want to go to questions. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the line that starts by the word such future obligations, it's not numbered, but there's a reference to a net present value of the county's obligation. What does that mean?
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, essentially what that means is that you would take the sum of the obligations to make those payments over the 30 years, discount them to present value with an interest rate after you've subtracted what they've already paid, and that's the amount that they can put in their reserve.
And, Mr. Chair?
Senator Limmer?
What does that mean?
Mr. Michael, what does that mean?
What it means is, essentially in layman's terms, it means that the county has to turn off the tax when they've got enough money put aside to pay those three obligations based on an assumption about how much investment income they will earn on that reserve.
And Mr.
Senator
Chair,
Limmer?
And Mr. Chair, can that assumption change from today's estimation?
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, that will change because the one uncertainty that we have is how much that tax will yield. And that was one of the difficulties with setting a $5 million amount or a $20 million amount, as was in the House's bill, because if the tax goes up or down, essentially that will affect how much they need to put in that reserve when the tax terminates to continue sort of funding that 30-year obligation. And so, if the legislature, for example, to take an example where you might be able to understand it more, if the legislature were to significantly expand the base of the sales tax, for example, and those monies would come in faster, that would affect you know, how much money has to go into that reserve. So, yes, it will change. And it also would change with, you know, with interest rates.
Mr. Chair, this would turn off the tax for once the payment of the bonds on the stadium are ended.
Mr. Michael.
And then we continue a very small portion based on an estimate for some of the sundry items that were part of the original deal. Is that correct?
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, I think the way to think about it is that the tax will turn off when two things happen. One, they've paid off all the bonds, and secondly, they've put enough into this reserve fund to meet those remaining obligations, and then the tax will turn off completely and will be done.
Mr. Chair, does the reserve fund, is it made, or are we defining it in a dollar amount now, or is it a running estimate? Are we at the mercy of a county board that's going to change that reserve from year to year, and could it run away?
Mr. Chairman, Michael. Senator Limmer, that should not be the case, because this will be essentially a financial calculation that's routinely done. In other words, those obligations are fixed in statute. Essentially, how much of those three things that they can pay. The only one that's not really firmly fixed is how much it costs to operate the ballpark authority, but there's not that, that's a fairly, I don't know, the Hennepin County people can testify to that, but that's a fairly small amount. So this, we're talking about sort of how much you have in the bank to pay $2 million plus $2 million plus $1 million as they've grown by inflation. And so it's a relatively straightforward financial calculation all to right. make. But the wild card is we don't know how much that tax is going to yield.
All right. Mr. Chair, could I ask a representative from Hennepin County just to answer a couple quick technical questions?
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Certainly. Mr. Chair, my name is Mike Opat. I'm chair of the Hennepin County Board.
Welcome to the committee.
I'm Peter McLaughlin from the County Board.
Welcome, committee gentlemen.
Thank you.
Senator
Thank you.
Limmer.
Thank you. Sorry to have you come over here tonight, but this is an important issue for our taxpayers. Do you have an estimate of what the dollar amount is needed for the reserve fund?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, I don't have one off the top of my head. It's easily, as Mr. Michael suggested, projectable, because it was fixed in statute that we would start at time zero of $2 million for library hours, $2 million for youth sports activities, to grow by a maximum of 1.5% a year. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some calculators over there to figure out what that is, but that would be the calculation.
Do you have an estimate of when the reserve balance would be enough so that we would stop this tax?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, no. I think, as you know, maybe you know, the original sales tax collections projections done by the Department of Revenue are more than what's been collected. We've been able to pay off the debt because of the advantageous financing we've got. We've gotten and actually prepay some of the debt to date, some $13 million. So I can't project to you when we'd be able to turn it off because, for instance, and I think it was well stated, if the legislature should make changes to the tax, to the sales tax, either expanding the base, playing with the percentage, whatever, there may be more collections, there may greater collections, there may be less collections, so it's impossible to calculate it.
One last question. Do you agree with the principles in this amendment?
Senator Limmer, I think all this is covered in the original legislation, but I understand Representative Lencheski's interest in this, so we can live with this as long as we can pre-fund our obligations. The construction obligation was paid when construction was completed, so that's easy. But we came over here with a package that included these other things, and we presumed a 30-year obligation. So as long as we can pre-fund that, I don't think any of us who supported the ballpark have any design or ambition to keep the tax on indefinitely. That was never our charge. We never made that argument over here. We wanted a revenue sufficient to, as we do, finance a big project that was of statewide significance and do so in a manner that's reasonable. So,
Senator,
that's where we're at.
No, I'm, been done.
Representative Lencheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to thank you for coming. And I know I've been difficult, and I appreciate that. You're not the only people who think that. And Mr. Lawless, I appreciate the time you took to have a substantive conversation about the financing. And I do want to, just on behalf of the House conferees, both those who represent Hennepin and those who don't, you know, I really appreciate that everyone's taking this seriously here tonight. Senator Limmer's been a big help. And Representative Davids has, and Representative Runbeck put this in her bill for me all along. But I do want to also just very publicly thank Senator Ortman for all her work in trying to make something work both for the county and for those of us who need to know this tax is going to come to an end in a very definite way. This is going to do a lot of good for the people of Hennepin County. And I really do want to thank you, Senator Ortman, for assisting me and Senator Limmer and all of us, the county, with this, and appreciate this very much. So thank you. It looks like we finally got some agreement.
Further discussion?
Chair, and just one question so I'm clear on this, and either for the commissioners or Mr. Michael, but when it says reserves adequate to meet future obligations, those future obligations are the library, the youth sports, and the maintenance of the ballpark, or not all of those things?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lewin, no, it's the operations of the Minnesota Ballpark Authority, who is the landlord. All the operations of the ballpark are the obligations of the Minnesota Twins. That was the deal from the start. All operating costs, security, everything, maintenance, is all the Twins' obligation. This is purely, they are the landlord. They're a separate political jurisdiction, but they have expenses as well, so that's what this is for.
Thank you.
Hearing no further discussion. Senator Senger holds the amendment you have. I'm putting Senger's name so we can identify it. It's not numbered. Senator Senger moves the amendment to the motion of adopting Article 4, Section 4, not 3, Section 4 of the House position, the language on page 14. All in favor say aye.
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 Now, Senator Senjum moves to adopt Article 4, Section 4, adopt House language on page 14 as amended. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you,
Commissioner. Thank you
very much. Okay, item next, Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I would ask that the 887-2 be handed out.
Okay, we have the amendment that Senator Ortman referred to.
I'm not sure if that's one that I've done.
We have copies of it?
Oh, that one.
I'm never sure if it's one of mine.
Ms. Zofkin. Okay, Senator Ortman moves the 087-2 amendment. Describe the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, the amendment would provide that before June 30th of 2012, the
The Commissioner of Iron Range Resources would transfer $60 million from the Douglas J. Johnson Economic Protection Trust to the general fund. Thank you. And I would recommend that you'd insert this in the miscellaneous article of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That would be my my motion. Members will recall earlier we made adjustments from the reserve and the cash flow. This is another adjustment like that. It is a drawdown from and a one-time transfer that was passed in the House. At this level, and so the Senate is supportive of that provision to balance the budget. These are extraordinary times, and extraordinary for our state. And at a time like this, then we also have to take some extraordinary measures. And so I hope members will support this one-time transfer from the Douglas J. Johnson Economic Protection Trust of $60 million. Back into the general fund in order to balance our state's budget.
Senator Arbin, you described it perfectly here. Just for the record, this has already been passed through the House Jobs Bill. Instead of being a conference committee there, it being a conference committee here. Thank you, Ms. Up. Any questions, any testimony on this issue?
Put the vote in right now.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to introduce the A58 amendment.
Has that been passed out?
I don't know. 58.
The A58 amendment. Oh, we have it.
So we're back to TIF, I think.
Members, if you go and look at House Article 3, Senate Article 5, this would be the issue of House Section 11, the House position pulling rules for market rate housing. Are we amending the House?
Yes.
Page 12, side by sides. Excuse me, if you go members to page 11. I will move House position, House section 11, so we have that before us. Senator Limmer, to your A58.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to have counsel describe the amendment, and then I'll add some comments after. Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Michael.
Ms. Zoff drafted this amendment, but I'm willing to explain. Well, essentially, what this
let's talk about it.
Your choice.
If you like, I can just go ahead and explain what's in here. Mr. Chair, members, the amendment actually. This applies to the provision that deals with the pooling for the housing in the TIF law, and it actually makes more stringent the requirements under which a property could qualify for the expenditures from this pooling source, so that as amended, it would only be available for a structure that contains a residence that has 1 to 4 family dwelling units that had been vacant for 6 or more months and is in foreclosure. And under the amendment, it would be only after the redemption period stated in the foreclosure notice has expired. So it eliminates the possibility of using the pooled increments for residents that were structurally substandard or for the adjacent vacant sites. So it tightens up the uses of this pooled TIF revenue.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, the reason I bring this up is that prior to this amendment, we were focusing on what they call a notice of pendency. A notice of pendency is the first official notice that a property is approaching a sheriff sale. It means that the owner is still the owner of the property, and that instead of having government get involved at that time, that we at least recognize that the owner is the owner, and that we understand that just like any other sale, that the redemption period has to, after a sheriff sale, there is a redemption period that still is a option for the seller, despite the fact that a property is tentatively sold at a sheriff sale, that they still have some rights, that if they can come up with the money, they can buy their property back. And I think it's a little premature for government to rush in until the ownership rights of the owner has been fully exhausted. And that's the reason why we have this amendment before us.
Well, thank you, Senator. I'm a little bit concerned on line 1.2. You're deleting your colon. Okay, discussion to Senator Limmers, A58. What did I say? What did
you say? Mr. Chair, is that a vote to delete a colon?
It is. I can see it now. Senator Limmer moves the 858 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. I will not. Senator Horton?
I had a quick. I'm sorry.
No, okay, fine.
Mr. Chair, I was going to move Cohasset, but maybe that's a change. Okay. You want to finish this one first?
Yeah. I will move House Section 11, House Article 3, Senate Article 5, as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we did the tax increment financing provisions earlier today, we missed Cohasset, and I don't know how we missed that one. I don't think anybody has any objections, at least from the Senate side, and so I would move the adoption of Article 5, Section 4 at page 13 to allow for the TIF proposal for the city of Cohasset.
Okay. I'm sorry I wasn't paying attention to anything you just said.
Mr. Chair, I am moving the TIF proposals from the City of Cohasset at page 13 in Article 5 of the Tax Increment Financing, Section 4.
Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman?
I'm not sure we're ready. All right. Mr. Chair, if we could, I'd like to move to the minerals article, page 28.
Okay. Members, page 28 at the bottom. Oh.
First moving to page 30, right? Mr. Chair, if we could point out on page 30, the Senate's position, which was in Article 6, Section 10, the production tax distribution, which eliminates the distribution to the range, I would move to adopt the Senate position on in Section 10, Article 6, on page 30.
Discussion. So the motion is Article 6, page 30, delete section, or accept section 10. Could you describe that? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion prevails. Item next.
Mr. Chair, I would like to turn to section 11 on page 30. I do want to make an amendment to that provision.
Senator Ortman moves Section 11 of Article 6, the Senate provision on page 30.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to amend that. We had the elimination of the price deflator, and rather I would like to just freeze the rate at for 2 years, for 2012 and 2013. So it would not be an elimination. It would just be a freeze, 2012 and 2013.
Okay, so we have the motion on Article 6, Section 11, page 30. Senator Ortman moves that. Now Senator Ortman moves an amendment to this to do a freeze for 2 years?
2 years.
Instead of elimination. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to then move Section 11 as amended.
Okay. Senator Orban moves Section 11 as amended. Article 6, page 30. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion prevails. Item next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to turn to Section 12 of Article 6.
Page 31.
Section
12.
And okay. Mr. Chair, this is the distribution to the Range Association of Municipalities. It would eliminate the annual escalator for that distribution.
Discussion? Okay, the motion is in Article 6, Section 12, page 31. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion prevails.
I think this is just a description.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman.
I would like to move to Section 17, the repealer section for the minerals article. Article 6, Section 16, and Article 6, Section 17 on page 31, and I'd like to move paragraphs A and B, and if council could just make sure we have clarity for the record about what we're repealing.
Madam Chair, you would want to repeal... In paragraph A, there is actually an amendment. In the original bill, you eliminated the distribution of the Taconite Economic Development Fund, so you will no longer be doing that, but you would be eliminating the distribution to the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools and to the City of Eveleth for the support of the Hockey Hall of Fame. So those two distributions are repealed. You would be modifying the repealer. There had been a provision that related to the distribution of that there would be some increases in some of the distributions of the taconite production tax that are related to the deflator. And because you're no longer repealing the deflator, we're going to allow those to go forward. It just won't be operative for a couple of years. So the repealer is somewhat different from what was in the original bill. But
Mr. Chair, that's my motion.
Ms. Up, can you restate Senator Orton's motion? The motion would be on Article 6, Section 17, page 31, if you could state the motion.
Mr. Chair, the amendment or the motion for the repealer would be that in paragraph A, you would repeal the provision relating to the distribution of the production tax proceeds to the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools and to the City of Eveleth for the support of the Hockey Hall of Fame, but not the repealer that was in the original draft that dealt with the Taconite Economic Development Fund. That would be maintained in the law as it is. So that will not be repealed.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask counsel, I don't think we adopted paragraph B.
Right.
I would make a separate motion, Mr. Chair, to adopt the Senate position, Section 17, paragraph B, which repeals the state aid payment of 22 cents per ton for the production tax.
Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Aye. Motion prevails. Item next.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask members to turn to page 26. Side by sides, there was a provision of the market value credit that we missed. It is the technical conversion to a market value exclusion. And it is Senate Article 3, Section 31, and I would move the Senate position on page 26. Mm-hmm. They are the same, Mr. Chair. I kind of like the Senate provision.
Okay. Senator Ortman moves Section 31 on page 26, Article 3, discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Item next.
I don't have page numbers. Just kill me on this side. Property tax, 19. We don't have page numbers, which is making it hard. Okay. Mr. Chair, I would ask members to turn to page 23 of the side-by-side. And, Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of Senate Section 11 of Article 3, which is the disparity reduction aid. We would be eliminating that aid to cities and counties with no reduction for school districts.
Discussion. Senator Orban moves in Article 3, Senate position Section 11, page 23, the side-by-side discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Mr. Chair, if I could ask members to turn to page 24 of the side-by-sides. And we are in Article 6, Section 17. I would move adoption of the House position regarding an alternative process for consolidation for our counties.
Senator Orban moves on page 24, Article 6 of the House position, Section 17, discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Next.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask members to turn to page 26. And, Mr. Chair, the Senate position included a study of the PILT program, asking the Department of Revenue to look at the interests and the policy and the effectiveness of our PILT program. And so, Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate position on page 26, Article 3, Section 32.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Yep.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the 35-15 amendment, NM035-15, which is a new proposal for the renter's credit. It's an amendment. We had a difference between the House and the Senate. We had a 12% in the House for the renter's credit. The Senate took the position at 15%. And on further review, I think what everyone was struggling with was wanting to preserve the core of a program that has very important property tax relief for Minnesotans. However, we had pretty compelling discussion, I thought, among members regarding whether or not that program goes beyond what is a core program for relief. And in particular, members were questioning not that we should be providing this relief to seniors or disabled or to low income, but perhaps the current proposal goes further than those goals. And so we've asked council to draft an amendment that would get at the heart of that, preserve the core of the program, maintain the 15% payment, but look again to make sure that it is being used effectively and efficiently and the way that it was originally intended. So, Mr. Chair, I would ask that we have counsel explain the provisions in the 35-15.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the 35-15 proposal has the same revenue impact in the fiscal 12 and 13 biennium as the House position. It gets to a middle ground somewhat between the House and the Senate position. The Senate bill reduces the percent of rent-constituting property taxes to 15%, while the House reduces it to 12%. This amendment would reduce the percent of rent-constituting property taxes to 15%, which is the level in the Senate bill, and then it would make up the additional revenue that was in the House bill by splitting the renter property tax refund schedule into two separate schedules, one that would apply to senior and disabled claimants, and one that would apply to non-senior, non-disabled claimants. It also eliminates the annual inflation adjustment of the income brackets in both schedules and of the maximum refund amounts in both schedules. In this new schedule for senior and disabled claimants, it would make claimants ineligible if their household income was greater than $40,000. The current maximum household income is $53,539. It would also reduce the maximum refund for claimants with household income from $26,010 to $40,000. Then for the non-senior, non-disabled claimants, it would make claimants ineligible if their household income was greater than $25,000. And again, currently the maximum income eligible is $53,539. The maximum refund for non-senior, non-disabled claimants would be decreased from $1,520 in current law to $1,000, and there would be a decrease for all claimants, and it would be scaled down, as you can see in the amendment language, as incomes increase toward the $25,000. It would also increase the copay percentages for all claimants on the new schedule for non-senior, non-disabled claimants. The minimum copay under the current law schedule is 5%, and the minimum copay for the lowest income claimants would increase to 15% under this proposal.
Mr. Chair, I would just like to comment, and hopefully members will support this proposal, because the state absolutely has a responsibility to help with the property taxes paid by our seniors and disabled and for low-income folks that need some help with their property taxes, even if they pay them through rent. And the state has taken on that responsibility, and I absolutely believe that we should be supporting that. However, beyond that, I think that we really need to be responsible for each and every dollar put into a program beyond that, and I think when folks are struggling across the state of Minnesota to pay property taxes, it makes sense that we try and equalize this burden and make sure that that we aren't going overboard. People have had setbacks. People aren't are facing unemployment. They're facing underemployment across the state, and we are collecting income and sales tax dollars to provide this relief. And I think that we should be very careful before we continue to fund a program like this. And so I think this is carefully crafted, and I hope members will support this with the intent that we are preserving the core of this program at full funding for those that truly need this.
Discussion?
Thank you, Ms.
Here.
Yep.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
My name is Nan Madden. I'm director of the Minnesota Budget Project. Thank you. If I may, Mr. Chair, can I just ask a question? Do I understand that this amendment makes the same dollar amount size cut as in the House bill?
That's correct.
Okay.
I guess the comments I'd like to share with the committee is that this amendment seems to make major changes to every component of this program at a fairly late date, and I don't think that the order of magnitude cut that is in the House bill is justified. I would ask you not to single out these low and moderate income households for such a substantial cut. I do not know with this amendment what the average amount of cut would be. I know in the House bill originally it was about $300, and that well erases, I think, any tax cut they would receive under provisions that are in the House and Senate bill. So I'm really concerned about a disproportionate cut on this population of folks, especially with major changes at a fairly late date.
Thank you very much. Other questions or discussion? Mr. Mossman or Commissioner France?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just a couple of comments. First of all, Senator Ortman, we appreciate your concern, and certainly the governor shares a concern about the renters program and the wonderful help that it can provide people who need that help. The difficulty certainly here is that we restructuring it in this way while people are already filing for the credit and we're already processing claims this year. For many of these refund claims, it would be a in addition to an administrative difficulty to make some of these changes. It's, we'd like to kind of look at these and get back to you. Certainly, the governor made no change in the 19% structure that we have currently, and so we this, like I said, the certainly we appreciate the concern and the program's intent here, and trying to expand it to those people who really need it. But we would like a chance to study this and figure out how to implement it in a way that would make sense for everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Other comments, Senator Senjum?
No, Mr. Chair.
Senator
Orson. Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if Ms. Manzi could maybe comment on the application or effective dates for this, for the proposal as written, and maybe we should be looking at that.
Ms. Manzi?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, this proposal, like the reduction in the percent of rent constituting property taxes in both the House and Senate bills, would be effective for refunds based on rent paid in 2010. So as the Commissioner states, refund claims that people are filing now and that are scheduled to be paid, I believe, in July of this year for people who file electronically and in August of this year for people who file paper returns.
Mr. Chair, I think we're well advised to look carefully at these effective dates. I think that's good counsel from the commissioner. And so I think what I'd like to do is withdraw the motion at this time so we can look at it and make sure we are accomplishing the goals that we have and the time frame that we want to accomplish it. I think I would say to Ms. Madden, whose testimony I truly appreciate, this is an effort to maintain the 15% payment to those that need it the most, as opposed to an across-the-board 12% payment, which is a real reduction to people that truly need this this program. And I'm not saying that those that get it don't have some need for it. I'm saying that we are targeting it to make sure that those that need it the most, that clearly fit the goals of this program, receive the full 15% to truly offset their property tax impact.
Okay, was that the NM05-15 amendment is withdrawn? We will, it's our intention to stop at midnight tonight. We have a few discussions we'd like to have here, so we're going to just temporarily recess for a short period.